This podcast takes you into the rarely discussed realm of the personal decisions leaders have taken that have influenced their business decisions and developed them into the leaders they are today. The refreshingly honest experiences of those who have been very successful provide an insight into the challenges they faced, the successes they achieved, and the people who influenced them along their journey. Here's our host, Mark Silvera.
Welcome to Business Made Personal. Today we have with us Rick Wolosny. Just by way of background, so Rick is the executive chairman of both Trident Insurance Group and Coast Insurance. Rick has worked as an insurance professional in Australia and Asia for close to 40 years. He owns and manages Trident Insurance Group, based in Perth, but operating nationally. Rick has also been a long-serving board member for the Steadfast Group. He was chairman of the Governance, Nomination and Remuneration Committee and also a board member of Miramar Underwriting Agency. In the past, Rick has also served as divisional chairman of the National Insurance Brokers Association and is a cover holder for Lloyd's. So pleased to have you on Business Made Personal, Rick.
Thanks very much, Mark, and thanks for the opportunity.
Hey, Rick, talk to me about the earlier days. You know, Wolosny is not a traditionally Australian name. What's your background, my friend?
Well, I was born in Perth and went to school here. Yeah, my father came out just before the Second World War, and that's where the name comes from. But on the other side of family, I'm sort of fourth generation Aussie, so there you go.
When your parents came out, did they come out because of the war or was it because of other reasons?
He came out because he saw what was happening in Europe at the time, and with some other friends and other family members, went to other parts of the US and South America because of what was going on in Central and Eastern Europe.
Now that you've given Perth a bit of a plug, people will be revisiting it now that we're allowed in.
Yes, it was a bit of a problem that we were a hermit state for a while, and we're still paying the consequences of that lack of people being able to move here at that time. So I think we're probably a bit behind some of the rest of the country as far as getting back to normal.
Now, you kicked Trident off in, correct me if I'm wrong here, 1994.
That's correct.
What were you doing before that?
Well, I was had a shareholding in a previous insurance broking for 5 years prior. I finished up doubling that, but the expectation was that the other owner was retiring and exiting, but I guess he saw that the growth was too good, so he decided to stay on, which motivated myself and some others to start Trident on our own and take that shareholding and the clients. And we purchased that, and that's what started Trident in 94.
So you've not worked for an insurance company previously?
Yes, certainly did. I spent 15-odd years working for a major insurer, and that's where I got my, I guess, experience and underwriting knowledge. And so basically spent time in Perth, a little bit time in Auckland, but spent a few years in Singapore in the 80s working for the insurer up there, which was also great grounding and just that different culture. And I think it helped me a lot with the people management side because it was certainly a little different to what I was used to.
What sort of age were you when you were working overseas?
I was transferred to Singapore at 26 years of age.
Wow. Okay. And was that a difficult thing to do? I mean, you're leaving, you know, you're born and bred in Perth. You were living, obviously, your family was in Perth. Was that a difficult transition?
It sounded very exciting and very exotic, but the reality was, yes, you're leaving your life as you know it behind and your family and friends, and you're going to a different country and didn't know what to expect. And there certainly were a few surprises, but in saying that, I'm very pleased that I had the opportunity and gained that experience of working in a different territory.
And you've done very, very well as a result of that in terms of your own businesses over many, many years. When you started Trident, what were the main challenges?
I guess getting clients at the time to recognise that this was a credible insurance operation to be part of, and I guess the same with any new staff members. You know, it was an unknown back then and didn't have record. So these these factors made it more challenging, but it was a very exciting time. I mean, a few opportunities in my business life to start something up from scratch have always been some of the most enjoyable and memorable experiences of my working career.
You've got to be a certain type of cat, though, to want to do that sort of stuff, Rick. So I'm just wondering if someone came to you for advice in terms of where they would start their insurance career, would you recommend they go straight into broking, or would you recommend that they kick off with an insurer?
Certainly, historically, kicking off with an insurer was always recommended to get that. They're very good, well, used to be very good at training and seeing how the product's made, etc. But it's not as easy anymore. The insurers simply aren't training those people like they used to. Things have gone very electronic, and there's not the new opportunities and training opportunities that there once was. And that's probably changed so much over the last decade. Prior to that, I think insurers offered a fantastic.
And I guess, too, it would probably depend on the individual's personality as to whether they prefer that sort of front-end facing role or whether they prefer that sort of more office-bound role, I suppose.
That's right. But I guess knowing those technicalities, knowing what insurers' requirements are with profitability and return for shareholders, I think is a valuable thing for all young people to understand, rather than just trying to get sales through the books as a broker. It's good to have empathy on both sides of the fence. I think you make a better overall insurance professional with that understanding.
So let's talk about you. You kick off in broking. Nobody knows Trident. There's a million other brokers running around, particularly in Perth, right? Because it's a fairly small insurance community. What do you think made you stand out from the others and made clients want to become part of your business?
I think having had a fair bit of knowledge and experience from the insurer days, I guess networking and knowing quite a number of people, having gone to school, etc., here certainly didn't do any harm. And I guess was always a fairly confident individual, therefore felt had something to offer that wasn't always available elsewhere. So, you know, I just think that just the broad range of skills, knowledge, and I guess desire to make things work, and clients believed in what the story was and what we were trying to develop. Yeah, and it has worked well. So that's really the big test.
Most brokers' lives, you know, the clients with them for 3, maybe 5, 7 years. Rick, you recently had a 20-year Trident party where you had almost equal number of clients as you did staff. What's kept them with you for so long, other than your ripper service, of course?
That was a 25-year party, and that was just before COVID. So we're a bit further down the track than that. And we've still got clients that go back to when I was 19. So that's a few years ago now, and they're still with us, either in this generation or the following generation. So one of our successes has been that loyalty we've had from good clients over a long time. And clearly, clients have been pretty happy with what they've received and the advice they've got and how claims, et cetera, have been handled to do that. So, and they're not necessarily the biggest clients we have today, but they're the most special, the ones that we've had over the generations and the decades.
I'll have to have a chat with my sources, mate, because they tell me it's 20, but it's 25. I've shaved off 5 years for you.
Yeah, I can always do with that.
So just thinking about broking these days, the advent of the direct insurer has taken a chunk out of the personal lines market, right? And in fact, I remember a time when brokers were happy for that to happen. I'm just wondering now, in terms of client value, where the expectation is that the broker is providing advice, it's more an advice-based model, how well do you think we're doing it?
Well, you're right. Certainly things are changing with the direct insurers now making it pretty difficult for us to compete on particularly home, but motor, perhaps the executive home, we still have a role. But, you know, I think things have been pushed further that we have to move more to that advice model, but we don't certainly have the volume of home and motor direct clients that we once did. Not that we ever really specialised in that area. They was always there as a service to more of our commercial clients, but it's certainly a change from what it was. And unfortunately, at this stage, it's hard to see that turning around in a hurry, because often on home product, we can be just so much more expensive than the direct market. So whether that's on purpose or not, but it's hard to find a competitive alternative in that space.
And I guess it comes back to that question around personal advice, right? How good are we at providing it?
I think with our generation, people really respect that advice and support and being there, whereas the younger generation perhaps are looking more at web-based solutions and Google it, et cetera, rather than the personal advice style that made, well, this business what it is today.
Yeah, interesting, isn't it? Changing times. Talk to me about the industry. So I think I said at the start, you know, you've been in the industry now for 40 years or thereabouts. What do you think it's given you that you never expected to get out of it?
I guess the relationship that you build with the clients, the insurers, both here and in London, the staff, and seeing them develop, that's been really special. And I don't know of too many industries where that could have been done better, but really proud of just the relationships built. And that's been the most enjoyable part of my career, I would say.
And you have forced a couple of your kids into the business?
I wouldn't say forced. They've all had their time in. Most have gone off and done other things, but it is true that my son Sam is in fact leaving today from after a 5-year stint in London and returning and going to be working under Steph Muller in the coast business. So hopefully his 5 years experience will be of great value to us.
It must be such a fulfilling thing to have your kids coming into the business and working with you and seeing what you've created, I would think.
It is always nice, but they have to perform like everybody else, and you know, they have a really good opportunity and to see and to understand the business and how it's worked over such a long period. But I'm very pleased in Sam's case that he's gone away for that period of time, learnt from others, and to add some real extra skill base to what he would have if he just remained here with this business.
Yeah, so obviously you're an influential person in his life. In terms of you, who's been the most influential person in your life, Rick?
I found that really difficult. I think there's not one person, but you know, you'd be in trouble if I didn't say my wife had a fair input in that. But it's also other work colleagues, sports people and colleagues that I've been associated with. So I think it's more a combination of all these people rather than I can't really select anyone in particular, but certainly original old bosses and things like that from the insurer and broking days certainly were also had major impact.
So talk me through that a little bit, because you're involved in water polo, and when I did a little bit of research on you, you're one of the top 15 in terms of number of games played with UWA. You're also with a rugby union club. You're a life member there and a chairman of the Netherlands Rugby Club. You mentioned that the sporting aspect had a lot of influence on you. How did that work? How did that play out for you?
I guess it taught me how to work as part of a team, because both in water polo and rugby, if you don't perform your role within that team, you either lose or you can get hurt. So basically the team mentality from the sporting arena is what I've certainly wanted to bring into work environment, because it's not about me, it's about how good we are as a team is what I try and engage with the staff on. And I think that's where the success really is in the team.
And look, speaking of teams, it would be remiss of me if I didn't mention the Steadfast connection. So, because that's where you and I met in the late 90s, early 2000s. I just wanted to check in with you. As far as Steadfast is concerned, you know, you looking back on those days, and they were pretty heady days when we first kicked off, because we were being told that, you know, if you got 200 brokers in the one room at the one time, Rick, they'd kill each other and all that sort of jazz. But I'm just wondering what you learnt from being in that sort of startup cluster group.
it was great days and a wonderful experience to be part of Steadfast and see it develop and grow. And it's just a very successful and enormous organisation now. But really working on a board with the calibre of fellow board members, you know, from Robert Kelly, you know, through to all the fellow board members, we learned so much off each other, the camaraderie and that network that's built, and be able to, you know, pick up the phone and have a chat about a particular problem or risk type, et cetera, was absolutely invaluable, particularly as for most of that period, Trident was still a fairly new brand, a new company, but all of them that were part of that board were absolutely great people to work with. And we still catch up today. We still bounce ideas off each other today where appropriate. But that was a pretty special experience.
Absolutely, Rick. And I remember it with great fondness. And certainly some of the people, as you just correctly pointed out, along the way have been friends of mine for a long, long time. And even in your case, you know, I ended up working for you, developing the East Coast, which probably would not have happened had it not been for a group like Steadfast and the introduction. I wanted to change tack a little bit, mate. So just thinking about your life, not just your business life, has there been a significant turning point in your life?
I guess the original one was making that commitment from a pretty good opportunity to continue on that corporate style career with major insurers, and having been transferred from Singapore back here, and there was talk about moving elsewhere, but then just had a think about it. Really, do I want to be moved around ongoing by a major insurer, or would I like to be having my own business in my own hometown as a start point? And the answer clearly was I wanted my own business and wanted to stay in Perth rather than continue to move around wherever the corporates told me to.
And how important was your family in making that decision, Rick?
Very important. I mean, it was Perth, a great place to call home and to live and the lifestyle, etc. And, you know, I swim when I go to London, trying to find a pool in London, for example, is hard work. You know?
You've got to break the ice first, mate.
Yeah, often they're only 25 metres and there's just not many of them. And we're very fortunate anywhere in this country that the facilities and the lifestyle that Australia offers as a whole is just simply outstanding. So it was pretty much a no-brainer to think, do my own thing. Yes, there was a bit of courage required because who knew whether it was going to be successful or not, but I'm very pleased I made that decision.
I want to take you to something you said in Insurance Business Australia in an interview, that if you could give some advice to your younger self, you would say, have confidence and assurance that opportunities will be forthcoming by always being professional and remembering that we must keep learning and adapting over the journey. How well do you think new entrants are doing that?
I guess the change is that a lot of the new entrants aren't as patient as you and I may have been back when we were their age. They're wanting so much fairly early in their careers. And I think that, you know, you've got to do the hard yards. You've got to have the knowledge in order to really contribute the way you'd like to. Yeah. So I think that this industry still gives everybody the so much opportunity. There are still more opportunities in this industry than there is time in the day. But to do it well, you need that background and knowledge and to make sure you are making those right calls and decisions and having that network group doesn't come overnight. It takes time. Yeah, so I just think that the difference is the expectation to do things so much more quickly today is a challenge.
And going back to your comment around, particularly around insurance companies, training people, you almost had built-in mentors to help you develop in terms of your knowledge and your capabilities. Thinking about yourself, did you have any mentors that assisted you in business?
Yeah, and certainly a number of my first insurer manager who also went into broking, who became a partner at my first broking venture in Reg Willis, certainly was part of that mentorship that helped create what I became. And I was certainly influenced by him. You know, as I said, plus a lot of other outside contacts and work colleagues, clients, sporting people. So, but from the insurance point of view, Reg was probably the one who had the most influence in my early career.
What would you say is the best advice a mentor's ever given you?
Probably, you know, to be patient, but persevere and be determined to just work through it. And if you put the effort in, the results will eventually come, which they did.
And it goes back to that whole thing around patience that you mentioned before. I think these days, I mean, if you look back to you and I, we had few options. You know, you're either going to go into the bank, you were going to go into insurance. You know, they were the two primary ones. Whereas I think these days you've got a lot of choice, and many younger people develop multiple careers over their journey. Whereas, you know, you and I, well, we've been in the industry now for over 40 years ourselves, and I would never think of leaving it, and you probably wouldn't either. But it's interesting how the dynamics have changed, right?
Yeah, I guess so. I haven't really had many jobs. I've worked for the one insurer when I started in the industry, and then, you know, started in broking. The only change I had was that 5-year stint in, and then set up my own. So hasn't been too many jobs, mate.
Rick, what would you say is the most difficult part of being in your role?
I think the most challenging part is people management and human resources. Fortunately, I've got a very good operator in that, in Jordan Brindley these days, who makes the HR side much better, and she's more knowledgeable about all that than I am. But that the human side and getting that staffing right has been the most challenging, I think, over the period.
Is that because of where you're placed geographically? Would it be easier in Sydney, or is it?
Perhaps, but it's just making sure that people you're selecting for roles are also suited to those roles. And sometimes they think they are, you think they are, but they're not always. And it just takes a bit of, well, expertise. It takes a bit of luck and a bit of knowledge that people actually fit well into the roles that are available in any organisation. But, you know, certainly I'm very pleased the way it's worked out. And I think that to see these young people come through and develop the way a number of great people have in this organisation has been the most fulfilling part of the journey.
And obviously doing some things right, because there's plenty of your employees have been with you, not just for a few years, but for many, many years, right?
Indeed. And, you know, I think the longest serving is 17. And I guess last year, as we separated the businesses into two entities, being the Trident and Coast, was, you know, they're totally separate now, but having giving the opportunity to young people in each organisation the opportunity to buy some shares from Steadfast, etc., and be part of the Trident and Coast businesses. And these people have been 17, 10, 10s, those sort of periods of time, and they're all in their 30s. And, you know, fantastic opportunity that we probably wouldn't have had given to us much back in those days. But these people are really, they're excellent, they're thriving, and it's just great to see the long-term capability of these businesses flourishing for a long time in the future with this sort of age group and their capacity for knowledge, enthusiasm, energy. You know, I can't do it all myself and have no concept of wanting to, but these people are just fantastic in what they're bringing to the business now.
And looking at the industry more holistically, if there was one thing you could change about our industry, what would it be?
Yeah, again, it's a challenging question. I guess the thing I've struggled with, and maybe it's an age factor, is the move to be so much more electronic in its delivery of product. It's the brokers and underwriters don't necessarily learn the makeup, what makes a risk, what it is, because it's all there through the chute, etc. Whereas we used to look up, you know, books and tariffs and check with other people and things like that made us really, really learn rather than just the the system doing everything for underwriters and brokers today.
And that's a great segue to my next question, which is around that Insurance Business Australia interview that you gave. You said in that, and I quote, "The goal is to continue to develop the business as clients' expectations change and to keep up with or ahead of future changes." What have you seen as being changes in clients' expectations, Rick?
I guess when we used to leave the office many years ago, you left the office. Now it's this almost 24/7 requirement to be in contact and to give responses, and it's not always that easy. You know, even when we go on leave, most of us still are responding to inquiries or getting their teams to. It's the instant turnaround requirement that is now there, which is different. I guess the other thing which has made it more challenging is that we used to be able to just pick up the phone, call an insurer, get an outcome, get a result, negotiate something. A lot of the people in the major insurers who we used to do that with don't have roles in these major insurers anymore, so it's much more difficult to really say you've got a fantastic relationship with some of these insurers because the decision makers are far less than what was the tradition in the industry.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? Because technology was supposed to free us to do a lot more in a lot less time with a lot more leisure activity as a result. I'm not sure it's done that. In fact, in my case, it's probably gone the opposite way because you are accessible weekends and weeknights and all that sort of jazz. And I'm not complaining about it. I'm just saying that it has changed the dynamic in terms of what work patterns actually are, added in COVID, and has changed the dynamic of business significantly.
Yeah. And look, let's not forget the value that electronic delivery has given us as well is to be able to work when you want, how you want, place business, get it bound, et cetera. There are some really fantastic advantages, but there are also some negatives because of that way of doing business.
If you were able to go back to that young man that was with the insurance companies and decided that, no, I'm going to go and do this on my own, what advice would you give him?
Sit back, be patient, persevere, use the network of contacts, colleagues, and belief. If I could do those things again, it would be a little bit different, but they're the main features I think that I would be telling myself.
So patience has figured a lot in this podcast. Do you feel that you were impatient when you were trying?
Ambition meant that you wanted everything now. And the thing I was pleased about is I did have a very good grounding in an insurer first, and that helped having that knowledge base, which I think the early part of my career gave advantages. But being somewhat patient, the more patient I was, would have been better. You know, just wanted everything to occur pretty quickly. But getting there well and over a period of time is probably a better way to go. And yes, if I'd just been prepared to do it a little bit more slowly, it may have been a better option. But I've got no reason to complain about what's been achieved.
I just want to ask you a couple of final questions, Rick. For those people interested in advancing their insurance careers, what would you recommend?
Yeah, look, I'd recommend they talk to a number of people who value their opinion. Make sure that the opportunity is not just something you believe in, but others think that it's a good idea as well. And once you've got that, just look at how the best way is to achieve it. Luckily, there are a lot of people that have been very successful in their industry. You don't have to look too far to see other models and how well they've done. But I think, you know, keeping abreast of what's going on with changing times, changing products. I mean, look at the new range of products that are available now as opposed to 10 or 15 years ago. Look at the areas like how cyber's developed, how management liability is developed. There's all sorts of brand new opportunities that haven't existed in the past, but the old ones are still there. So it's just more and more of that, and just identify the ones that really interest Jupiters and have the opportunity to success. So, yes, it'd be nice to be of that age and have these opportunities.
In fact, you'd probably argue it's greater. I mean, if you look at, you know, some of the specialist areas these days that never existed when we kicked off, I mean, you know, financial line specialists, PI specialists, you know, those people weren't around back then.
That's true. I mean, basically it was more like medical general practitioners as opposed to specialists. But I think as times evolved, we've emulated more what's happened in London, where they have specific niches and strengths rather than trying to do everything. And that, I think, is valuable to have that knowledge in that niche, which is unique to that organisation or that individual.
So final question to you, Mr. Rick Wolosny, the Executive Chairman of Trident Insurance Group and Coast Insurance. What's next for Rick Wolosny?
I'm pretty content with what's happening now, just continuing to not be, just to mentor the young shareholders and young staff members in both of these businesses, and just to be there if they need some advice or some guidance in any particular area. But that's where I would like to see my time spent before I take it a lot easier, is just to be working with them and give them everything they need to create their own future successes.
Hey, thanks so much for spending a bit of time with us on Business Made Personal, Rick.
Absolute pleasure, Mark. And yeah, really appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you so much for lending us your ears. Please remember to click follow on your podcast app or subscribe at bmppodcast.com.au so we can give you a sneak peek of our next guest. Until next time, I'm Mark Silvera, and you've been listening to Business Made Personal.